Welcome to News Talk, and this is D.G. Martin. Last week we visited with Bernie Reeves, and, you know, what a great program, that's all I can say. But I had to interrupt Bernie at the end, right when he was in the middle of a thought. Now, we can't get back to that thought now, but there's plenty more for Bernie to talk with us about. So I've persuaded him to come back and visit with us again. And, Bernie, thanks for coming, first of all.
My pleasure.
Always when you're in Chapel Hill, my ratings go up. Instead of just my wife and me listening, you know, my children listen, too.
Yeah.
No, really, people love. So you got to come back more often.
I love it.
And challenge the way we're thinking.
Now,
Bernie, last time we got involved on some issues that are important to you and me, but maybe not as important as the rest of us. So you've taken some strong stands recently, well, forever, on several matters that you and I have different points of view on. And one of them that I'd like for you to talk about, because it's sort of current news, and that is transportation. The whole idea about mass transit, and is just, I think everybody knows that the president's budget did not include any money for Triangle Transit Authority to contribute to its plan. Nor did the plans receive a very high rating when they were reviewed.
Thank you for saying that.
Reviewed by the federal authorities,
right?
About,
I mean,
this.
The plan is not going
to
happen.
And just to finish it up, you've been critical of the plans and the way that we got to the plans.
Right.
So review that for us, and then I'll try to attack you if I can. I'm not as informed as you are.
Well, the Triangle Transit Authority is born in sin of the political kind, and it was, you know, the vestiges of it began in the 80s when we hardly had the density or population to even think about that.
And what, how is it different from normal government? What is it different?
Well, that's interesting. What you have in order to create a district, if you like, use that word, rail transit, you've got to have so much population. In order to create population here, you've got like 15 towns, but mostly Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. So a group of sort of righteous environmental mass transit type people, and they were, went about and got all these little entities to sign off on them becoming the legal entity that could go after money in Washington that has have set aside
for
mass transit.
It was smart to get together, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I'm not against that. Except that they were trying to get a rail transit system before we qualified in any way at all, and that's why it continued to fail. There were six different proposals made to the federal government in the 80s and early 90s. Then in 92, they said, well, look, there are railroad tracks already here. Why don't we use them? And made a proposal. They forgot to ask the railroad companies for permission. Railroad companies said, are you out of your mind? That cost them another $400 million in projected cost. And that's why the train that they're trying to sell now doesn't go anywhere like the airport or places people want to go. It's because they're using these existing tracks. Here's Bernie's view on that. I know you're getting old when you say you call yourself your own name, but in the third person. But I want what's best for the community, the Triangle community and the different constituent cities in the community. I'm not a Russell Capps Republican naysayer. I don't vote against. I mean, I want the Civic Center for downtown Raleigh. I want whatever we need to do to make us a great community and communities. So I have called for the disestablishment of the Triangle Transit Authority and the establishment of the Raleigh-Wake County Transit Authority. Because at the end of the day, of the growth of the Triangle, of which I've been a participant, as you know, from the very beginning, I mean, the beginning of the modern Triangle, I should say, since the late 70s, Wake County is 800,000. Durham County is 200,000, 250,000. The numbers are Raleigh now. Chapel Hill has already pulled out of involvement with TTA. They don't want it. You know, Chapel Hill is just not even participating, to show you again. So what's happened is that the Triangle community has grown, but each of the cities has grown too, and now they've got different things. And here's the main thing. Durham, which would be then the Raleigh-Durham, would be the main two partners in a triangle transit type of a situation. Durham, as you well know, has been running a campaign against triangle unity because they don't like Raleigh. And you've seen this before where the pilots are chastised for saying Raleigh Airport or Good Morning America can't mention Raleigh when they came to Duke to broadcast. And they have a person in Durham, Ren Bowman, who operates a campaign for Durham First, you know, to keep Durham from being suffocated by what they see as Raleigh's giant shadow. They have now pulled out of the Metropolitan Statistical Area. We are no longer the Raleigh-Durham market. We are now the Raleigh-Cary market, which has gone from ranked 41st in the country to 59th. For instance, had we still been the Research Triangle, Raleigh-Durham, SMS, you know, Metropolitan Statistical Area, we'd be bigger than Charlotte. That's what everybody's been waiting to happen. But now Charlotte's at 1.6 million, the Charlotte MSA, and our MSA is now Raleigh-Cary, and it's 797,000 instead of 1.6 million because Durham has pulled out. So, so what are we doing?
Well, creating let me just a interrupt transportation authority on this sends fact, a train on to Durham. Fact, on this fact, doesn't the a national organization set up the
Department of Commerce, but Durham has lobbied. Look, I was part of the group of people who lobbied for a unified triangle, and we used to call it SMSA, MSA. It used to be the standard metropolitan statistical
area. Right.
We lobbied hard because we wanted to create this new unified community. So, yes, the Commerce Department certainly designates these, but the community certainly lobbied them, and that's what Durham has done. Durham is no longer connected to Raleigh.
I want to try to let you get back to transportation in a minute, but you mentioned this, and it's really interesting to me. I don't know, but the idea that where you've got a market which is in common, where you've got television stations that broadcast to the whole market, you've got magazines like your magazine that deal with the triangle market, you've got people talking about research triangle. How do you persuade a federal government entity to split a market which is essentially unsplittable?
It's split. And now, I'm saying, too, that everybody knows.
You don't think that's a communist plot, do you?
No, but I know that it's a Durham plot. And we all know that we live in the triangle. And we all know that the critical mass of our cosmopolitan.
How does it benefit Durham to have that separate? How does it benefit Durham? Aren't they better served by being a part? Aren't we all better served by being a part of an identified larger market when we get?
Durham has made a decision to put its identity as Durham ahead of its.
Now, where is Chapel Hill in all of this now?
Where it usually is, you know, La La Land.
No. But I mean, are
guess
we part of the Durham market?
You are now part of the Durham Mini MSA because you're not big enough now to make the. Now, we're always going to sell our advertising and sell our readership and sell everybody's going to use the read. Don't get me wrong. And there is a lot of synergy.
Your point is that Durham is not a team player as far as the triangle is
correct,
concerned.
Correct. And so, therefore, I think we need to have it where the population.
Now, what about is Chapel Hill a part of a team player?
Chapel Hill, I think, has been isolated in its own attitudes for a long time. I don't see Chapel Hill as a team player.
So we're not when you talk about the possibility of mass transit, we're not a player or not a logical player.
Mm-mm.
And why wouldn't we want to get our people back in? And why wouldn't Raleigh want us to have a large concentration of people with a quick way to get over to Raleigh for government business, for shopping and stuff like that?
Well, first of all, the idea of the Research Triangle communities being a single market was something I did. The Research Triangle Park, of course, creates unified identity in the park. But the whole idea of the three cities actually being organized that way was something that was totally reluctant on the part of the cities themselves.
All right, now.
And so therefore, this is not a voluntary, unified community.
Gotcha.
It's forced together through the park's identity. And Durham, over the years, has decided that the dominance of Raleigh is overshadowing their own identity, and they have been lobbying. They have interrupted every kind of unifying project that we've had in there, from cultural arts.
But Bernie, can I ask you one other question? Because, and this is a mean question, but you can clear it up, and that is that Durham's attitude coincides with your point of view about the way things are operating. So you're criticizing Durham for kind of dropping out of all of this, but all along you've said the idea of merging Durham and Raleigh with a transportation line is kind of a fool's errand. So you're kind of glad Durham's
exactly.
back there, aren't you?
I am. I'm trying to make the point that a train to Durham is not really mass transit, it's inner city rail. And I'm trying to say that here's I should add another because I know too much, which is dangerous. When you have the triangle critical mass of population, which I'm very familiar with, having spectator triangle business and metro, you have the population that looks like a big city. But when you're trying to do mass transit, you've got to have the population and the density. So the very geography that you have to get the population level defeats you on the density.
And say that one more time because I missed it.
All right. You look at your community and you say, we have a unified community of 1.5 million people. So on the surface, that means that rail transit is a natural fit.
But it's too far spread out.
Right.
For,
mm-hmm. But the geography that's required for that has now created a situation where they can't qualify for density. And that's why they get turned down by the feds. And the thing that's gotten me about TTA, they've never shown shame, or they've never apologized. They keep continuing to be turned down and slapped down. And they continue to go on in their zeal to get this money to enforce their view. And their view has now been decided is not valid. Let me say this. When you pay your gas taxes and it goes to Washington, it goes into the federal highway, like administration, you know, used to be the Bureau of Roads, and they take all the money from all the states and give it back to the states, you know, as you know. Well, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they took 2.5% of the total and gave it to mass transit for cities that needed help, like Cleveland, New York, Philadelphia, that needed help with their mass transit. The environmental movement latched on to rail transit as a way to get people out of automobiles, and through lobbying on the federal level, the cut now taken for mass transit out of the federal highway budget is 18.5%. So in the last few years, suddenly, there's about $40 billion that's earmarked for mass transit. So TTA wants that money to implant their vision. I want that money to implant a vision that fits the reality.
Right. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about that vision after this short break. I'm talking to Bernie Reeves, and if you're missing Bernie and me shouting at each other, we'll get to it after this short break.
We can't believe everything we read in the media. You got to listen to talk radio, and you got to rise up. You know, what we say really makes a difference.
I just want to say that it's your show that's got me to switch radio stations.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and stay here all day. This is News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.
Hello?
I'm sorry, but I have some bad news. It's your car. Your automatic intake valve and the overhead cam thingy, clutch cable, catalytic converter, dual master cylinder, water pump is broken. And it needs oil change.
Oh, really? How much will that cost?
Well, if we get the parts by next week, and plus parts and labor should be...
Feel lost in the jargon? Ever wonder if your car really needs an overhead cam thingy? At AutoLogic, their ASE-certified master technicians are paid a salary, so they don't need to worry about selling you unnecessary profitable repairs. AutoLogic finds out what's wrong the first time and writes you an accurate estimate that will get you back on the road feeling safe and satisfied. AutoLogic provides expert maintenance and top-notch repairs for imported automobiles, along with great customer support. A combination that can't be beat. AutoLogic of Carborough. Trust and logic for your car. Call 933-6609. That's 933-6609.
Did you know that there's a new way to manage aging skin and wrinkles? This is Dr. Janelle Williams with Central Dermatology. Restylane, a product composed of hyaluronic acid, a substance naturally produced by the body, is a treatment administered to help visibly smooth facial tissue. Restylane is one way in which to preserve beauty and youth during the natural aging process. Restylane is a transparent gel that can be injected into the facial tissue, usually around the mouth and nose, to smooth wrinkles and folds. Once injected, Restylane works temporarily to add volume to facial tissue. The smoothing effect of the treatment will last approximately 6 months.
For medical or cosmetic questions about your skin, call Central Dermatology Center at 401-1994 or click on www.cdcskin.com. Central Dermatology is located on Highway 54 near the I-40 Exchange. Central Dermatology, protecting what protects you.
News Talk 1360 WCHL presents D.G. Martin and special guests on Who's Talking every weeknight at 6 and 10. This is our special Sunday morning replay.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My favorite guest is Bernie Reeves, and it is because it's always lively. We're talking about something serious, and I think Bernie and I disagree about it, but I hadn't gotten there yet because Bernie's explaining to me about the collapse of the Triangle Transit plans in this area and why I think Bernie's saying it might be a good thing.
it's a good thing because it was flawed. And I don't want to go into so much detail, it will wear you out. But it's flawed in the sense of its concept of using existing rail that doesn't go where people want to go. The answer by TTA is that, well, we will make people go where the rails go by creating these urban dense clusters. And that's tied into their public statements that they are against sprawl. And, well, what they mean by that is they're against neighborhoods. And I'm a Raleighite. I'm a Chapel Hill person, too. You know, I'm a Triangaloid. And I know my community well, and I know how it's grown, and I know what attracts people to it. And the main thing that people are attracted to are the neighborhoods. And yet here are these righteous individual sort of deep environmentalists telling me that the parts of the city that we admire are not to be anymore because of their own sort of vision of a pure environmental future with no automobiles. I mean, it's ludicrous. And this is what the federal government's telling them.
Well, Bernie, this is what you... You know, I used to think you were just against mass transit because
it was part
of the, you know, environmental movement. But what you're telling me is that you think mass transit has a part to play, at least over there where you live in Wake County, maybe not in Durham and Chapel Hill right now. But what I'd like for you to do is to tell us how, you're not perfect, of course, but you've thought about this so much. What kind of mass transit do we need, if any, and what would work?
Well, first of all, let's go back to what I said. I'm not trying to take something from Durham and Chapel Hill.
I know, but you're focused on this.
I was trying to give you the startling reality that, 800,000 people live in Wake County and 250,000 people live in Durham County.
I have sadly accepted that wisdom.
So therefore,
that we don't...
Raleigh is your Philadelphia, yeah, your Atlanta. Right. So therefore, we now are big enough to have a big city.
Let me just say I'm disappointed that we're not concentrated enough to have, in your view, a realistic mass transit system, either in Chapel Hill or in Durham. But now I'm curious about what you would do in Wake County where you think there is enough concentration.
What I learned from my research, what Metro is all about, is the reality that Raleigh is now the big city and that Durham and Chapel Hill are part of the outlying part of Raleigh. I know that's something they'll never accept, but that's where it's headed. If you've got 800,000 people, you then have rationale for mass transit.
All right, but now listen. I want to jump on you from another angle because we're concentrating on Wake County, and you're saying there is enough density there. But if you look at Wake County, this population is spread all over the place and spreading. It's not concentrated, is it?
Well, the wave goes out, the wave comes in. I mean, I think the infill in Raleigh and the downtown redevelopment is probably just as active by certain measures as the sprawl.
Well, for instructional purpose, give us your vision of a kind of mass transit plan that would be suitable for Wake County or Raleigh or whatever part of it might be suitable for, both in terms of serving the current population densities and providing, a resource for the future in the way that it might grow in a healthy way.
My personal choice is a monorail.
And where would it go? What would be the criteria?
I think that a downtown-centered monorail system that moved out.
A spokesman.
Well, the great thing about monorails is they create a visual image, a sense of occasion. Las Vegas has one now. And it doesn't say you have to ride me. It's there for you. But you don't have to do intersections with a monorail. And that's another issue with the mass transit plan from TTA.
On the surface transportation, you got to worry. But it costs a lot of money to put it upstairs, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does cost money, but you don't have that constant problem. But let's just say you start in the center city of Raleigh. We have state government where you have banking center now developing. I mean, that's the center. And then you move out towards RBC Center, out towards the airport.
All right, it's clear that you'd put the hub downtown.
Right.
Where would you take it to?
All right, we would move out. I did sort of write that out. We would move out to the RBC Center along Wade Avenue to the airport. We would move out Linwood Avenue to Crabtree Valley towards the airport that way and meet there and loop back around. We would move out New Bern Avenue to the Wake Medical Center where the big congestion is coming from all the commuters that come from state workers, where you could park and ride from there. And then... You see, you've built up a rational system that comes where the population is and goes where people want to go. Then we run it to Durham. We go from the airport to RTP, where you can take a monorail. And then, then we go to Durham, then we go to Chapel Hill. But you see how that makes – that's a rational
– get it started and then expand it as population density increases.
Don't put something so expensive in place it goes where people don't want to go.
What are the chances that reasonable vision – will be...
Well, I was interviewed on TV recently, and I've got Senator Neil Hunt has agreed to introduce a bill in May when the legislature reconvenes to disestablish TTA. I've also spoken with the state auditor about the waste of money at TTA that needs to be looked at.
All right, now you're still throwing bombs at an existing agency rather only than a positive vision.
Only because, as I wrote, once they got turned down for the, this is not the first, eighth or ninth time, this last round, the next thing you know, they're right back at it again. Not one apology, not one shameful, you know, no shame at all. I mean, they've made horrible mistakes. They have miscalculated ridership. They've wasted millions of dollars.
What is the alternative entity to do this kind of planning?
I want to call the Raleigh-Wake County Transit Authority. And then as we build that, then it'll be naturally we'll connect to Durham via the airport and to Chapel Hill and Durham
just
via
the
RTP.
Same old story, Raleigh to do it, and then when it's ready to extend it to the rest of us over here.
Well, let's go back to my main point. I want to make it clear to you that you've got to have population and density. Raleigh and Wake County have population and density. Durham and Chapel Hill do not. You know, the problem with the whole research triangle planning that went on with TTA is a hole in the donut, which is RTP. RTP has made it very clear as an entity they are not going to participate as a civic leader of any type. So, you know, if that were a community with an entity, with a legislative entity, with a, you know, with a rulemaking body or something, it could say, you know, come from here and go out, and then maybe I might fall for that. But I wouldn't probably. Raleigh is the future. Raleigh's a big city, and there's where your population is. Then, but here's the big thing. We need to have an accountable legislative body, and that's what's missing with TTA.
And what kind of body do you envision?
The city council and the Wake County commissioners. Look, Charlotte, you're from Charlotte. Charlotte just did.
I'm from Davidson.
That's true. But Charlotte just did it, and they did it through the city and the county. They had a referendum, and people voted on it. And I'd be perfectly happy with that. I'm not against mass transit just because I'm anti-environmental or anti-spending
money. Let me try to summarize this because, I mean, I think the message is bad news or will be viewed as bad news in Chapel Hill. But basically, you don't think that transit, mass transit works in the Orange, Durham, Wake County context in a cooperative way. It hadn't worked, and I think in order to get a practical system in place, got to destroy that and go to something that works. And while you're not against, I'm putting words in your mouth, but you're not against cooperative arrangements when they're practical, but among the governing boards, you just don't think it works in this context. Is that fair?
It has.
Well, that's the bad news, folks, in Chapel Hill. And Bernie knows a lot about it, can talk about it.
Chapel Hill will be included if we get a rational system in place. Right now, TTA's wasted millions and millions
of dollars. It just sounds so patronizing to say, give it to us in Wake County and we'll do something that'll be good for
you. Well, it's the capital city, man. It's the capital city.
All right, folks, you heard him. That's Bernie Rees. He's my guest, and what a guest he is. He and I'll be right back.
We can't believe everything we read in the media. You got to listen to talk radio, and you got to rise up.
You know, what we say really makes a difference.
I just want to say that it's your show that's got me to switch radio stations.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and stay here all day. This is News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News Talk and Tar Heel Station. WCHL presents a brand new show for Tar Heel fans. Carolina Blue Live is a new sports talk show hosted by CarolinaBlue.com writers Zeke Smith and Ryan Bartow. It'll cover Carolina athletics, plus all the latest recruiting news. Zeke and the guys will discuss everything from how the Heels will finish in the ACC to the high school players UNC is trying to recruit. Carolina Blue Live. Thursday nights at 7, only on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
This is Mindy Gellin from Cornucopia House Cancer Support Center. It's easy to be confused and frustrated about what vitamins and supplements to take, especially when you're relying on them to improve your chances of overcoming health problems. The information changes so much. I often say there should be a nutrition ticker tape like there is for the stock market. We at Cornucopia House are thankful for people like Mark Mead. He will share his expertise during one of our first Tuesday educational forums, supplements during and after cancer, on Tuesday, March 7th, 7 to 9 p.m. Come and join us so you can get busy with your important work of staying as healthy as you can be. Remember, Cornucopia House services are free of charge to all cancer patients, their family, friends, and caregivers. Thanks, WCHL, for caring about people with cancer.
Crown Volvo of Chapel Hill invites you to experience what a community dealership is all about.
Hi, I'm Ed Boyd, sales associate at Crown Volvo. Crown Volvo offers you a friendly, knowledgeable sales staff, factory-trained service technicians, fantastic selection of new and certified pre-owned Volvos, and best of all, we're right here in Chapel Hill. So when you buy a Volvo from Crown Volvo, not only are you taking care of your family's safety, you're also giving back to the community because you're buying locally. Right now, Crown is offering the 2006 Volvo XC90 with third-row seating for only $35,943. Stop by Crown Volvo of Chapel Hill today and see me, Ed Boyd, or one of our other knowledgeable and friendly sales associates.
Crown Volvo of Chapel Hill, your community dealership. Volvo for life. Prices plus tax and $399 dock fee and approved credit and includes all incentives. ST number 25130. See dealer for details.
Long-term life insurance is a smart investment. And if you're a married man, even more important is long-term wife insurance. Exactly what does a wife insurance policy do for you? It keeps the two of you in love for the long term. How do we insure that? Simple. A gift from Grimble Jewelers. Perhaps on your anniversary. Perhaps tonight because, well, your hearts beat a little faster each time you're together and you want to keep it that way. I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. Long-term wife insurance is one of your smartest investments. Come see us.
News Talk 1360 WCHL presents D.G. Martin with Who's Talking, Sunday mornings from 8 to noon.
This is D.G. Martin, and my guest is Bernie Reese, who's been very generous with his time to come over and talk to us about things that matter to Chapel Hill. But, Bernie, you remind me of an Old Testament prophet. You haven't brought us news that we want, so we're probably going to run you out on a rail. Oh, on a rail? Well, we can't run you out on a rail because you won't give us any public transportation.
Remember that, you know, I have eaten my vegetables. You know, I didn't walk into this triangle environment just saying, oh, my God, I see the future. I mean, I have been at it as the first triangle-wide medium of any type. I'm the one to help go around and break those eggs for that triangle omelet from the cultural and political view of my publications. I do know what I'm talking about. Now, you might disagree with me, but at least, kind of like education, at least my views are built upon risk, experiment, and understanding.
Well, Bernie, let me bring this up. You brought this up during the break, and if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. But, you know, we live in the South where race is always a part of every decision that we make. And is the exclusion of Durham from your plans or from the pragmatic Wake County plans have anything to do with Durham is just a situation where the racial composition of that community is more balanced, I guess, more closer to being equal than it is, say, in
Well, Durham is 51% black and Wake County is 22% black. And so there's a big difference in the histories and the culture and the societies that have evolved. The problem with Durham, I don't think necessarily problem. I mean, but the reality of Durham is not race, it's crime. Now, of course, if you can connect the two, but I don't go around doing that, and I don't plan to do that. But it is a problem that Durham has a hideous crime rate, and I think that race ends up being associated with that. And I hearken back to being chairman of Raleigh's downtown committee back in '82 when I got Smees York to put it on his agenda when he ran for mayor, because I wanted a vibrant downtown, and believe me, nobody else did. It was over, and I got involved in it, and we did this, and now, of course, it's booming. This is this is in the early 80s. And what I discovered was that in reality, why didn't people go downtown? Why couldn't we get, you know, Northway? Mm-hmm. And you get to the bottom of it, and it's the you know, what's the great Oscar Wilde line? The word nobody wants to say is that there still was this vestiges of really serious racism that went back to the Martin Luther King riots of 1968. This is the truth. You know, and the Shaw University. So therefore, whether things have improved or whether even that the facts aren't right, don't make any difference. I've learned that in this issue, perceptions rule. And it's been a real hard, long road for downtown. But that's now ending. I think Durham will handle its problems, and I don't think that this will end up being a big
issue. Well, this is what you're what you've told me is leading me to deal with the racism that's prevalent and including among present company, including me, and that is the suggestion that as some white people are comfortable, just happy as can be, if the racial composition is closer to the 80-20 that you've got in Wake County than it is in downtown in the Durham in the Durham city of 50-50, and that you say I'm happy with my 80-20. I don't want it to be a community that is much different from there. Is that fair?
Trying to say at the same time is that sad but true that the mathematics of crime are very related to the percentage.
Well, there are two things. One is maybe arguably real, and the other is what you mentioned is the perception, which may or may not be based on reality.
In fact, I remember one of the great things in Durham when we were doing the early days of Spectator, trying to get to know each other better, were the wonderful, very aristocratic black community in Durham. That's what happens. You're not trying to say this, but what happens is the mathematics of it all end up sort of confronting you that no matter how you put it, Durham's got a terrible crime problem and a violent crime problem. In Wake County, 90% of violent crime is committed by blacks, 90%. Nationally, the statistics sort of weigh out the same way. Now, that's my fault or that's the fault of slavery. Well, I don't care you can say whatever you want to. That's the reality. And so there's a tendency with good thinking people who big hearts who do not want to be racist, but underneath it is this fear.
Can't
that
escape
comes from
it.
Crime.
Yeah, there are all kinds of things that kind of come into us and hit us as people who want to do the right thing for our community. One of them is, how can we live in a world where we allow this to take place? That if you're managing a company, if you're the dictator, you'd straighten this out. If you're running a football team, you'd straighten it out.
You'd fire a lot of people.
You'd fire people, but you'd shake a lot of people up. You'd do a lot of tough love and providing resources. Whereas what we do, correct me if I'm wrong, what we do is we kind of, oh my goodness, isn't that terrible? And let's move on to something that we know about.
Well, no, I don't. And I've gotten in trouble for this and because of I've been trying to confront it versus, hiding behind it with either righteousness or whatever, cocktail party liberalism. But, I think that the most dangerous person in this whole 40-year issue to do with the new era that we're living in race is a white liberal. But by that, I mean the expectations that are required of the black community are beyond the ability of the black community.
Oh, golly. Well, I just disagree with you so much about that.
What?
I mean, the white liberal has, where would we be if it weren't for the white liberal who took us out of this kind of total segregation, both races.
Right now, the whole county of Wake and the city of Raleigh is in the throes of another school reassignment. And the reason is that the Mecklenburg case, as you well know, declared busing unconstitutional. It is no longer constitutional. So what did Wake County decide to do? To have a diversity objective. They have kept it. So what happens is they can't plan for their schools. They don't know what they're doing. And now we have a tragic, tragic mess because they're sticking to an ideological, hypothetical goal and not dealing with the reality.
So funny that you bring that up because in another context, people from a national market say the only people who've been able to deal with this in an effective way in order to maintain some sort of equilibrium and balance is the Raleigh-Wake County schools, which are a model. And here you are just tearing it apart because
it's not a model when I got a billion-dollar bond issue coming up, and it's not a model when they've just had to move 11,000 students.
One at a time. A million-dollar bond issue is only because of the great success that you've got in growing this market, in part responsible. You're responsible for it because you've made it such a great community that people want to come to.
Here. We have grown the market, but let me tell you, the data about how many people live here, which then they can figure out how many kids are here. That's the information we had when we planned Metro in 1999. Don't give me this stuff that, we had no idea that the county was going to grow this fast. That's not true. It's not true. Number two, had they been planning schools, knowing they're going to build Briar Creek, build a school, instead of the diversity goal, which is the old busing goal, which creates inefficiencies. We got a scandal in that whole busing thing. The administration salaries to manage all these, you know, really unconstitutional things are creating a problem.
I'm just really surprised that as the pragmatist that you are and the understanding that you've got about the value of the diverse education, that you're not willing to support what has been an extraordinarily successful.
I can't support anymore. I cannot support an 11-year-old or a 16-year-old at that very tender and critical time of their lives having their whole world turned upside down because of some sociological agenda, DG. Well, wait a minute. I am tired of it. And let me tell you, so is the courts of this country. And why, then, is Wake County continuing, then, to sacrifice these kids' lives, disrupting them entirely and not creating the kind of stability they need, all for a vague goal that is no longer constitutional?
Yeah, well, it is just because a lot of people disagree with you about what the results are and the value of it. But one thing that I agree with you about is the extraordinary difficulty it is to have kids move from school
to
school.
It's a terrible thing to do.
This is terrible. But a lot of this would happen anyway in Wake County because of the growth in different areas.
But therein, and this issue is where you and I, liberal and conservative, if we were to use those labels, I thought of those kids. You thought of the greater good of society.
No.
Well,
I'm thinking
yes,
of those
did.
Kids.
You think it's fine to move those kids if it's because you said, Bernie, this great community's got to be diverse.
Well, let me just, you know, maybe so, but I just have to tell you, you know, in my own family, and this was in Charlotte, my own kids are taken out of their neighborhood, disrupted, moved to a high school that was formerly a high school and largely of another race, and we were distraught about it. Turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to my kids in terms of their ability to handle all kinds of diverse situations, their understanding of both the ups and the downs sides of different types of people. They were better educated by a long shot and ultimately better people because they got out of their neighborhood.
Well, maybe they'll be like the Noel Coward song. They'll shake their little fists and strangle their psychiatrist. But I think is enough. But let's go back to the race issue.
They are very healthy and
important. I got something very important to say, though. We started with busing, and then you move into affirmative action. You move into set-aside government grants. I mean, I think there's been a lot done, and deservedly so. You don't see me saying not deservedly so. But at the end of the day, we have a declining race gap and you know that's going on in education. You have a 70% illegitimacy rate amongst black population in this country today, and you still have not achieved some of these goals. But one of the reasons I bring in the white liberal, if the black population in the United States, 12.5%, let's just round that down to 10%, we got 300 million, it's 30 million. Now, you and I both know and would agree, and all these pundits here would agree, that 10% of people have the brain power for professional jobs in life, doctors, and you know what I'm saying, 10%. So 10% of 30 million is 3 million. So when you've got diversity, we have a chancellor for this over here at Carolina, right, about recruiting. You've got in 90% of PhD programs in this country, there are no black candidates. And so immediately the lament is, that's your fault, DG. That's your fault, Bernie. That's your woman. That's your fault, America. But it's not. They're not enough people. There are not enough black candidates to meet the expectations. And that is putting an extra burden on the black community, which can cause low self-esteem and make them feel bad that they're not achieving the agenda.
You're just, I don't know where you're going with this because we're just so much better off today with having a whole cadre of black doctors, black professors who are injecting a tremendous contribution.
I agree that we had to do it.
And if we take it your stuff, we would have never done that.
I said that we have done these things and we have had great achievement. But excuse me, I said we've had these programs. But I'm telling you today that there is this frustration that they can't meet the goals of the white liberals because there are not enough black candidates.
We got to take a break.
It's a mathematical reality.
I hate to leave this unanswered. This disturbing message that Bernie's trying to give, and we will not accept it. But we'll have to take a breath, catch our breath, and come back, and we'll jump him right after these short messages.
Check out the WCHL website. It's all new and improved. Go to WCHL1360.com and you'll find the information you need on News Talk 1360 WCHL and the special programs we air, including the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz, the Stephanie Miller Show, the Al Franken Show, the Ed Schultz Show, Live at 5 with Dan Seiler, D.G. Martin with Who's Talking, and much, much more. You can listen to some of our shows by podcasting. Hear Ron, D.G., Point Guard Perspective with Jimmy Black and King Rice, and more than you can imagine. It's all there. Your up-to-date weather forecast, the WCHL Village Pride Award winner, our commentators. The list goes on and on. Now it's a place you can visit every day with the latest news, sports, community events, and whatever else you need for living in the southern part of heaven. It's new and improved. It's www.WCHL1360.com. Ready when you are. From News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.
Pretty impressive, huh?
News Talk 1360 WCHL is a proud supporter of UNC's annual dance marathon. Tune in Friday night. Dan Seiler, along with me, Erica Ellis, and other members of the 1360 WCHL community crew will broadcast live from the dance marathon taking place in UNC's Fetzer Gym. The 24-hour dance marathon begins at 7. We'll broadcast the opening ceremony and interview a number of UNC students, asking them why they choose to shake their groove things for such a great cause. Our coverage continues through 9. Last year, more than 600 students danced the night and the next day away, raising more than $184,000 for UNC Children's Hospital. The dance marathon greatly benefits the hospital, which provides necessary care to children in our community that often need costly service but struggle to pay for it. UNC students are doing their part. Now visit uncmarathon.org to find out how you can support this fun-filled event. It's the annual UNC Dance Marathon beginning this Friday night at 7 in UNC's Fetzer Gym.
WCHL 1360, time now for Biography for Radio with Jack Perkins, brought to you locally by the Cedars and East West Partners community.
It was a most unusual marriage. She was pious and prudish. He was crude and debauched. His story next on Biography for Radio.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
The French nobleman had a terrible reputation. Though charming and well-bred, he was known for corrupting young ladies. His father, desperate to be rid of his arrogant son, arranged a marriage to a plain girl with a very big dowry. Surprisingly, the couple became devoted to each other. They moved to a remote castle and hired 6 pretty teenagers, supposedly as maids. Soon, the villagers were whispering stories about whippings, orgies, and sodomy. Yet the aristocrat's wife stood by him, referring to him fondly as my good little boy. Finally, the police raided the castle. The nobleman escaped and spent years on the run. But his mother-in-law had him tracked, and in 1777, he was thrown in jail. There, he wrote the erotic fantasies Justine and Juliet, both of which made him famous and notorious. For years, it was thought his book, The 120 Days of Sodom, was lost in the French Revolution, but the script was later found rammed into a bedpost. In the end, an insane asylum was the last home of the man whose name is now used to define the enjoyment of cruelty, the Marquis de Sade. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Biography for Radio, brought to you on WCHL by the Cedars of Chapel Hill and East West Partners Community. The Cedars is the country's premier retirement community. Call 929-1995 to find out more on this very special community. Life has been good to you. Now it gets even better at the Cedars of Chapel Hill.
You can hear D.G. Martin with a replay of Who's Talking from the whole week, Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360. WCHL.
Welcome back to He's Talking. I'm calm for just a moment because I got calm during the break. But I'm angry with Bernie Reeves for bringing this message in which basically he's talking about Raleigh. We have disruption in the schools. We have it here in Chapel Hill. We're not worried about so much about racial balance or diversity balance in our schools right now. But when we change schools, people go crazy. That's part of it. What really gets you is you want your neighborhood schools where kids can all go alike. You don't want a whole bunch of black people in the schools that your children are in.
I'm the internationalist. I'm the globalist. I'm the one who likes diversity. I'm the one who likes people from all kinds of cultures.
With some sacrifice to get it?
But whatever. I mean, I don't know what you mean by that so much as to say I'm not that way. I can't stand the whole idea of a lily white suburban life. That's not what I'm saying at all. This all started over what looks like to me unconscionable pressure is being put on young people to achieve an idealistic goal that's been ruled unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. That's all that started this. And then the next thing you know, I'm a racist because I don't, you want me to, what do you want me to say? I agree that the Wake County system should have kept the busing rule.
Well, I would hope that you'd say we very sensibly, when the busing was no longer a device in which we could use to diversify our schools, we came up with a real diversity, economic diversity, as a model in which we try to take care. We find – here's what the facts show. The facts show that kids who come from single-parent, low-income families do so much better when they're mixed in with groups of people from high income. And so if you mix them up, and that I argue that the high income kids are better served when they
right,
are
but the high income
in.
Kids are going to make this sacrifice.
No, I think that they come out better.
Well, I got news for you. I think you're going to have a civil war at Apex and I think that, you know, enough. I mean, I have no racist blood in me. I mean, I don't care who it is, but I do not like. What's the right word? I don't like it when the emperor's not wearing any clothes, okay? And I'm telling you that this Wake County school system has made a horrible mistake in planning its school building because it refused to do it by the reality of the numbers. It did it by the reality of its diversity goals.
Well, I think folks in Chapel Hill are interested in Wake County, and we could go on forever, but we just got a minute or two. And what else are you worried about that that people in Chapel Hill might either be interested in or disagree with you about? What else is on your plate other than Triangle Transit Authority and the school situation?
Well, I think that the most interesting current issue that has ramifications is the Denmark cartoon issue, because there are all kinds of rivulets to this.
And you're of the mind that we ought to stick it to the Islamic world and make them eat it and learn to live with the free speech.
And see, I get you know people like you. Do
well,
this.
Did I mischaracterize your view?
You mischaracterized. You characterized your view is what you did. No, where the headline is going to be when I write this is going to be Denmark, land of the home and land of the free and brave. I mean, wait a minute now. Where are the people defending Western? Again, a decline in education. Nobody seems to understand these values anymore. But we defend to the absolute nth. Anybody? No. How could we? We got Bill Clinton and Al Gore is over in Saudi Arabia criticizing American values and European and Denmark values.
Where do you stand? What's the right approach to this particular
that
situation?
That there be a uniform response across Western culture.
Which says what?
We used to call the Christian world.
Which says what?
Which says that this is part of the freedom of a free society.
And if you don't like
and
it.
If you don't, and we're not going to make a comment
if you don't
about
like
this.
It, we're not going to buy your oil anymore.
It got nothing to do with oil. You see, that's another thing. See, that's what you do.
No, I mean, but what is the right? Do we not even do you criticize any sort of backing away and saying, "Hey, if we offended you, we're sorry." You don't think we ever want to do that? Let me ask you this: Is Metro gonna reprint these cartoons?
I'm thinking about it because Doug Marlette and I have been in touch, and Marlette was the object of a fatwa in 02 for doing a cartoon called What Would Mohammed Drive with the guy with the
So you might have an article by somebody like Marlette
well, I want to
which
talk
compares.
About, but here's the other thing that's interesting is that the ambassador to Denmark's from Raleigh. And I'm sitting here, I'm a monthly, and I'm sitting there watching our mass meeting. I'm saying, where –
Well, what would you do? What would you do?
Well, I am going to do something. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to tie in at least. I'm going to convey information.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is.
I'm saying, why aren't we standing behind those Danish newspapers for just doing what we do as a matter of course?
Now, as a part of this, are you going to show your readers what those cartoons were?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, I just haven't done.
Because I mean, this is so interesting. This is so interesting. Well, it would bother you too, because the publishers. I think it's the publishers rather than the news. People, the editorial people who are saying, don't do this because it might be good to do it, but we don't want to be bombed. And so what are you
willing
to take
the risk?
That ain't
no way to run a railroad,
DG. Well, you're the publisher and the editor. What does your publisher's hat say? Am I going to take the risk?
Tell you what I'll do. The Iranians have responded with depictions of Jews. You know, they're, you know, they believe that the Holocaust did not exist. I mean, we're dealing with irrational.
You got to come back.
Well, we're now. We know, and so therefore, for us to act like that we're afraid,
yeah,
that means that we're not standing up to defend liberty and the whole sacrifice of Western, you know,
well,
blood
there'd be
that
two
has
ways
created the freedom we live in today.
Two ways for you to do it as a publisher and editor. One is to have a big editorial saying, "Hey, we ought to stand up to each other, and we ought to stick with people who are willing to do this." And the other, and that's all neutral. The other is that you say, "All right, we'll do it too." And if you don't like it, come get us. And which one are you going to do?
I don't know yet, but I hadn't thought about it. I thought that most some people had run them. I mean, you can get them, but I'd be glad to. Yeah, I'll run Doug's for sure.
The old one that got people angry.
But we don't. You know how this started. You know, this all started with this Ulan's Post found out that a woman who was writing a children's book for Islamic students about Muhammad could not get an artist. I mean, that's what started this.
Well, we got lots to say, and Bernie and I never finish our arguments and our disagreements. I always learn from you, Bernie, and I thank you for coming.
You've been baiting me today.
I've been trying. We'll get Bernie to come back. Thanks all y'all for listening, and I'll be back same time tomorrow.
And now it's time for Getting It Together, brought to you by Hold Your Own Organizing and Storage Solutions.
Taking the time to assess a problem area before using a solution helps organize your home step by step. I'm Katrina Lamberto, professional organizer and productivity consultant. The key is to be thoughtful and honest when assessing the spots that typically accumulate clutter or overflow. Take inventory of what is there and ask, how did it get there and where does it belong? When you understand what makes up the problem, you can create useful solutions. Laundry overflowing? Get a laundry triple sorter. Magazine piles slipping and sliding? Cancel subscriptions, rip and read, or get a magazine rack. Grocery bags falling out of the cabinet? Get a grocery bag holder. Don't forget to measure your space before going to Hold Your Own to purchase solutions. For more of my tips, visit catlamdew.com.
This has been Getting It Together, brought to you by Hold Your Own in Eastgate Shopping Center, Organizing and Storage Solutions. Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill is proud to offer you exciting prices on many in-stock Subarus. Subaru is the only vehicle that can climb a mountain in the snow and still look classy pulling up to your favorite ritzy restaurant for a romantic dinner. Performance Subaru has value-priced all Subarus, so now's the time to buy. Drive home a 2006 Legacy Wagon for just $299 per month or a 7-passenger B9 Tribeca for the value price of $369 per month. The B9 Tribeca has a 5-star government crash safety rating and better fuel economy than 59 other SUVs with a whopping 250 horsepower. Visit PerformanceAutoMall.com for a full listing of Subaru inventory. Performance can't be beat. Subaru. Think. Feel. Drive. Outback D, 6045, 48-month lease, 12,000 miles per year, $23.99 total due at signing. Payment does not include tax. Tribeca D6012, 36-month lease, 12,000 miles per year, $9.99 total due at signing. Payment does not include tax. Must take delivery by February 28, 2006.
At home, at work, in the car. News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboroughs, News Talk and Tar Heel Station.
7 o'clock.